Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Wednesday, 7 September. I'm Simon Brown, coming to you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Mia Kruger, ShopRite results. I thought they were quite good. The market sent it down 7%. We're chatting GDP. We saw a negative number come in for Q2 with Dr. Chris Harmser. And then John Rose, MD of Isar Wealth, generating, protecting global offshore wealth. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Takeover regulation panel gags Caxton from speaking out about its proposed acquisition of Impact. Although, in a fun twist, the panel also did not disclose that its chair is an Impact non-exec director. Fin24 Mantashe Gazette's new rules to add more power to the grid. This is from the president family meeting of last month. It's now gazetted. It can now start rolling. Morning markets, US was red after being closed on Monday. We had the S&P off 0.4% and the Nasdaq down 0.7%. Asia's red, Sydney down 1.3%, and Tokyo are off 1%. Commodities all red, everything's red. Gold, $1,704 an ounce. Brent, $91.49 a barrel. Platinum, $8.30, and palladium, $1,988 an ounce. Rand, $17.38. Bitcoin down at $18,700. Top 40 opening call, 400 points to the red. That's 0.2% as Tencent trades down 2% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Tony now with Mia Kruger, director at Kruger International. Mia, appreciate the time. ShopRite, which is a chunky holding in my portfolio, results out yesterday. Turnover not bad. Earnings up 10%. This was also 1 week less than the previous year. Obviously, they had the riots in July in those numbers because it's the full year. SA operating margin 6.8%. I really like the results.
I agree with you, Simon. Good morning. I think, it's so baffling to see the market's reaction. There was clearly someone who expected much more from ShopRite than we did. I think if you consider the numbers against even the peers, it was nearly double what we saw from Woolworths. And I think what I like about ShopRite, and we've been saying this, you and I, for ages, is that it's positioned in the right area of the market. So it's really focused on the growth area of the market, and it's really focused on what an emerging market is all about, like South Africa is. So we saw them on the Checkers side, which is just over 40% of the business, really, which is the upper end of the business, take away quite a bit of market share from the other players. They're also planning on opening quite a couple of new stores. I think they mentioned 275 new stores this coming year. And that will mostly be in smaller stores, that's neighborhood stores, and that will definitely place a lot of pressure on the Spars and even the Woolworths that are focused on those areas. They made a lot of money from selling alcohol, and that was mainly due to the fact that they had a lot more trading days where they were able to sell alcohol compared to the previous year that was still part of the COVID shutdown and alcohol ban. And then, of course, they had a lot of new data that they could utilize towards their banking offering, where they mentioned that they have 25 users that they could utilize the data from. Yes. So they've offered this new transactional banking account. They call it the money market account, where people can now ETF money into and pay their salaries into and pay from that. And they actually use the same card as they use for their loyalty program. And this has been now tainted the cheapest account in South Africa. So definitely going to take some market share away from the whether it's only the newer other players or even the existing bigger players, but they've picked up more than 2 million customers in less than a year. So that's significant. And the banking hours for people who like to shop at ShopRite, which is the majority of people in South Africa, is very lucrative because they even open on Sundays. So not a lot of emphasis placed on this yet, but I do think this could be an area of growth for them. And even just if it's just an offering to their clients that's beneficial to the clients in a country like South Africa, I already like it.
Yeah, and because I agree with you. I mean, everything you said, I mean, it's just, I think it's a top retailer globally. Market hating on it. As a long-term shareholder, I mean, you kind of just shrug your shoulders. I mean, the market can do what it likes. Maybe actually it gives us some opportunity if we want to pick up more.
Absolutely, I agree. So it's not always clear, and I think that's the important thing for listeners. It's not always clear why the market reacts in the way it does, because these numbers clearly didn't make me very upset when I read it. I was actually quite impressed, and I also like the fact that they give a lot of data during their earnings announcements, and they mention how many jobs they create. They give clarity on how their platforms work. They've invested now in a second delivery platform that they could possibly utilize to even make money off other retailers. So we haven't heard much from that either. But I like the fact that they were quite clear about how their 60-60 drivers remuneration work. It's driver owned vehicles, so it's much more like Uber. So the people don't really work for ShopRite. I was surprised, and that was the reason I went into that, because I couldn't believe they'd only created 6,000 jobs from 60-60 being so successful. And then I realized that the drivers actually don't work for them, but only get remunerated for their services. So very interesting, and I think there's a lot of data to go through. But I was definitely not one of the disappointed parties in the market.
Me neither. And they're going to pay us a dividend. I can't complain. Mia Kruger, Kruger International, appreciate the time this morning.
Your money knows it's not just about the money. It's about your returns, returning the favor and empowering people. Your money can do more to change the narrative. Beyond delivering consistent returns, investing in the Stanlib Kanyisa Impact Investment Fund can help eradicate poverty and protect the environment. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Dr. Chris Homsa from CH Economics. Chris, appreciate the early morning time. Second quarter GDP for South Africa came in yesterday. It was negative, down at -0.7%. My sense was this was expected. I mean, there was the floods down in KZN back in April, and of course, load shedding and stage six load shedding started towards the end of the period, but nonetheless in those numbers as well.
Yes, Simon, of course, the market expected -0.8%. And you're 100% correct. Those two events definitely had an effect. But one might also have to take into consideration that it's the whole global economy that started to shrink in the second quarter. And we just follow. If you look at the numbers underneath, something like, for instance, exports, that also have shrunken, and some of the other industries as well, especially the agricultural industry and manufacturing industry. So we had it across the board. So it is it's a world phenomenon that we are now moving into an economic recession. Mm-hmm. And the Ukraine-Russian conflict, I think if we add that to the two reasons you gave, it's not a surprise that we are in a negative territory.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it is a global phenomenon. And of course, that war in Ukraine, absolutely not helping. Manufacturing, agricultural, mining led the decline. You mentioned agriculture there. And again, kind of makes sense. We look at the prices of agricultural products. We look at the prices of commodities being mined. They've all been under pressure. They're still profitable in that industry, but they're under pressure. And perhaps the important point to me was that they're still smaller and we are as a country than we were pre-pandemic.
Yes, they are. So we haven't recovered pre-pandemic. One could expect that, because if you look at since the beginning of 2020, we had last year in the in a second quarter at -1.8 after the KZN and Gauteng unrest, and now again a -0.7, and we haven't recovered from that. You know, we have quarter-on-quarter grows like, 0.8%, minus, 1.4, 1.4, 1.7. You know, we haven't recovered after that -17.1 in the second quarter of 2020. So that is the main thing. The second thing also, if you look at the fact that, in South Africa there is a lack of demand because there's no investment in infrastructure, there's no investment in services. So manufacturing are suffering. World prices, of course, of a lot of commodities came down. So normally, where we were boosted from our export side, it just doesn't seem to boost economic growth. So we need now that domestic demand can be stimulated. And of course, one don't also have to forget the fact that that interest rates already started to increase last year in October. So in other words, there's a slack in demand. So if you look at the expenditure side, household final consumption expenditure increased only by 0.6%. So there's no demand. Government consumption expenditure also decreased by 0.67%. I think there's a huge pressure on government and the state-owned enterprises that are not performing. And the only light in the tunnel is that gross fixed capital formation or investment at a small positive increase of 0.5%. So I think it's overall the way on the production side, due to after pandemic, the economy is not able to start to stand on its feet. And on the consumption side, due to the rise in inflation and interest rates, and people just their salaries can't adjust to the increase in prices. There's a slack economic activity, and this is what we have at this stage.
Yeah, and then a quick last question. I mean, if we look for the full year, I mean, quarters 3 and 4, I mean, I don't know if you're expecting them negative, but they're not going to be big numbers. It's going to be a tough GDP year for South Africa. I mean, there's internal issues, but of course there's global as well.
Yes, it is. We expect the third quarter and possibly the fourth quarter also to be negative. Okay. We're just following world trends. You know, if interest rates in the U.S. are going to continue to increase, if the oil price is going to stay at $195 to $100, and there's a slack in world demand, one can expect that this South African economy, I think for the whole year, if we are positive, we will be lucky.
Yeah, okay. And of course, if we get a third quarter, that's a technical recession, two negative quarters in a row. We'll leave it there. It's Dr. Chris Harmser, CH Economics. And that's our question today on our LinkedIn and Twitter. What's your expectations? Chris there says he expects full year to be, I mean, if we get two more quarters of negative, we're going to be down for the full year. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
There's no postponing the inevitable. Your money knew this day would come. And you know what? It can hardly wait to start giving some back to you. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with John Rose, MD at ISO Wealth. John, appreciate the early morning time. Talking offshore, and in particular, sort of the phrase used, global wealth generation. I think a lot of folks out there think to themselves that we're building a portfolio and probably focusing on a South African portfolio, a JSE portfolio. Truthfully, as citizens of planet Earth, we really need to be looking wider, and we need to be perhaps putting a lot more focus into a global portfolio and wealth generation via that route. I mean, we've just been chatting about local GDP. It's tough out there in the world, but it's even tougher here at home, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, an old adage is that, the South African market is representative of about less than 0.5%, of the world's economy. So one really has to look at that as to, how one wants to invest into the future and to have a decent balance, Ultimately, you're going to live in rands if you remain in South Africa. But what we found, especially over the last, dozen years, since, the sort of 2007, 2008 crash, that, you know, global has offered a far better return and outlook compared to the JSE sort of rivals. So we've seen great success there. But, you know, I think even our government has recognized that you've got to have, you know, more exposure to the world economy. Mm-hmm. We've seen that in the basics of just Reg 28 changing, you know, and allowing you know, a lot more flows into offshore equity in particular, but also obviously property bonds and all the other good stuff.
And I like your point there where you said live in rands, because you know, if we're in South Africa, we are living in rands, and you know, maybe some folks are going to be immigrating at some point, but many will be staying behind in South Africa. And that's why I think a lot of folks are, well, if I'm living in rands, that's fine, but you only need your short-term sort of income requirements in ZAR, and that might be your salary. If you retired, it'll be off your investments, but certainly your longer term in a hard currency. We don't need to keep it all in the currency that we're in, because of course we live in the future. And we can move money easy.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's, you know, the process of moving money in and out of South Africa is relatively easy. I mean, the toughest part is anything over R1 million, mm-hmm. you know, getting a South clearance and all the rest of it. But, you know, kind of simply put, I mean, the best sort of play over the last sort of dozen years and what we've seen into the future is really looking at, you know, great interest rates in South Africa, real interest rates. So you're getting a real return, a real dollar return, especially on money market and bonds. You know, and if you look at that blended with offshore equity, it seems to be the best play. And it has been the best play for a long period of time, with the exception of a real massive squirt ahead in the last sort of 18 months, which is now starting to come off, as your previous commentator was saying, in the commodity market. So the JSE has obviously shone in the last 18 months, but the overall sort of trend has been, you know, global equity has outpaced the JSE. You know, and we see that that'll be, you know, the sort of same future picture.
And that then brings to perhaps the crucial part. And I think of our market, quite small, what, 300-400 odd stocks, but a lot of, you know thousands of funds. As soon as you go offshore, I remember just looking at equity in New York was in excess of 10,000. It becomes the fund management and finding the funds and you know, knowing which are worth the time and which are perhaps best avoided.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's where passive investing gets its sort of energy from, is the fact that the most active managers, you know, really, you know, don't beat the index, and that's the truth of it. But what we found over the years, and this is where our success has come in, is to actually concentrate on your strategy and stick to your nitty. You know, so you'll see, like, in the last 18 months, in particular, you've had, you know, the value guys have had a good go of it because they've had sort of undervalued stocks that have really sort of risen. But, I mean, in particular, our view is to, you know, buy quality companies and hold them for a long period of time. You know, and we do have an allocation to really, you know, technologically advanced companies as part and parcel of our equity makeup. And those are the exciting companies, you know, the companies of the future. I mean, I'll give you an extreme, which is, you know, we have ownership in SpaceX. You know, and I think everybody would enjoy having exposure to a stock like that in the future. But it's actually private equity at the moment.
Yeah.
So that's the difference between, you know, sort of a futuristic stock versus, you know, as you say, 300, 400 stocks on the JSE. You know, it can give you a completely different experience. But as always with equities, you've got to be in for the long haul.
That's it. And I like your point you made there. Concentrate on your strategy. Stick to your netting. Short term, things go crazy. Longer term, focus on that strategy. And the SpaceX story, I want to dig into that, but we're out of time for today. John Rose, MD at Isar Wealth, appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. Yesterday, we were chatting with Jonathan Cherry about the true cost of car ownership and managing cars in cities. He came with a staggering number, 26 million ZAR, cost of car ownership over your lifetime. The question we asked you, however, was, should we be closing off some of those streets for pedestrians only? I can think of a bunch where it works. And in fact, I was reminded that Melrose Arch has done that with some of their streets. Over two-thirds of you said absolutely. A quarter of you said, nope, you need to drive, whilst the rest of you were saying, actually, do you just use taxis? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, MoneyWeb websites in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.